So we started wearing masks at our house.
Why are you wearing masks?
Well, Selena went online and found a pattern, and then we went down to Spotlight. Here's a fun day. Went down to Spotlight and picked out material. And then we had Spotlight. To find the elastic as well. And
I've
then,
had many a terrible time in Spotlight. It's like Bunnings for women, to be sexual stereotyping. Oh.
And you don't look around and see many men. You don't see many blokes hanging around. And also, too, with the social, with the isolating, there's nowhere to stand. You've got to sort of got to pick a spot next to the thing, you know, something that people aren't going to be looking at. Because if you get in an aisle, you can get caught with a whole lot of women diving for balls of wool.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, back off, keep your distance. But anyway, so we made them. And we went for patterns that were kind of fashionably suitable for the members of the family. Like Romy got a pink one. I got a black one with rings one. On it. But what's interesting, remember when you were a kid, I don't know, it doesn't happen anymore, but when you drove around in your dad's car, if he saw another car that was similar.
Oh, you'd wave.
Or the same car, you'd wave.
Yeah.
So when you, because what's the percentage of wearing masks? It's probably about, I don't know, 3% or something?
No, more you than that now. I guess about 10%.
It's a bit high. Oh, okay.
I reckon.
So when you walk in, like we went into a shopping centre, when you walk in, when you see someone else with a mask, you give them that little knowing look like, yeah. Hey,
we know what we're doing.
We're special.
No, it's like you're the survivors.
we're the ones that will carry on the species, you know. Yeah. So when you see the other people wearing their masks, you go, okay, well, I might have to make babies with them. Anyway, and then what happens is it goes further. When you go, you actually get to a point where you, I don't know, for some reason you think that people can't see you. I don't know why I think that.
Really?
But I go, like I'm in some sort of, well, it's because I'm in disguise, your face is covered. You know,
well,
I don't know.
Well, for you, you probably get recognised less too, wouldn't you?
Well, as you know, I don't think about that much. But I did. It did cross my mind. And we were leaving Kmart, and the girl at the front desk said, "You got any more shows coming out?" And I'm going, "How can you? How did you know?" I mean, I had a Russell Coyd T-shirt on.
Yeah.
I was, you know, it's an interesting psychological study.
Why did you wear them? I mean, are you just paranoid about the virus? Is it why?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's our only time that we actually go into the public. But we have been to Bunnings. We wore it to Spotlight, but we didn't wear it to Bunnings. So I don't know. I don't know what the theory is. I don't know. It's kind of they're in the car when we just pull them out randomly.
Hang on, so you had a big day of shopping, and I don't know if this is essential shopping. Spotlight or then Bunnings? Was Bunnings crazy or?
No, Bunnings wasn't too bad. And yeah, look, okay. Are you going to report me to the police? I mean, I was just trying to think what Bunnings was for. I don't think it was essential, but there's no doubt. That if you just have a little, you're kind of zero, aren't you, with your outings?
Oh, yeah, no. I went to the supermarket yesterday to do my weekly shop where I bought meat and bread and stuff. And then Albert from my local shop is delivering stuff. So he's going to do a delivery for me. Yeah.
You've got it covered. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe because I think it should be like a point system. I think it should be like you should be able to have, you know, so if you go for a walk, that's a point. If you go shopping, that's a point. If you go, I reckon it should be limited to about, I don't know, 2 or 3 points a day.
Like a driver's license thing situation.
Yeah. So if you get up to 5 points, maybe, you know, you lose it. You lose completely. You have to be completely isolated. Do you get out and have an ex?
I went for a walk this morning and I'll take the kids out later, but we drove for about 5 minutes to go to the Yarra, to the river. And I'm saying, if we get pulled over, there's no real excuse because the cops will go, "What are you doing? Oh, we're driving to do exercise." Well, you're not that interested in exercise. You're driving somewhere to go for a walk. So there was a guy in the paper got pulled over going to a mountain bike track and got fined. So
there was a guy who he got fined for eating kebab on a park bench.
Yeah. Well, this girl also got done for learning to drive.
The
girl who got done for learning to drive and the guy who got done for the mountain bike were both on the same road. So I would avoid the Peninsula Link if you're in Victoria. That's where the cops just seem to be sitting there going, right, let's pull a few people over. Because that is also the gateway to all the beaches down there. So I reckon they're pulling over people that are going to beach houses as well.
I guess there's no doubt that when you go out, you do have to have your story prepared.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you're going out, you could say, I'm going to rob a house. And you go, that's okay. That's essential.
That's essential.
For your livelihood.
That's your job.
That's your job. It's what I do. So therefore, carry on. But don't you go and eat a hot dog while standing in the street talking to somebody else.
Oh, no. Well, you know, you got a feel for burglars because everyone's home now. So they just be like, oh, God.
I was reading the other day, Jehovah's Witnesses must be loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going, hang on.
And Mormons.
You're not answering the door. I know you're in there. Anyway.
Oh, here comes the music.
Here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast and welcome to everyone in isolation. We're also doing this from our home, so if it sounds a bit unusual, I'm in my... We'll post a photo on our Facebook page of me in my home studio and you in yours. Have you got a photo of you? Take a photo of you and yours.
I'll take a photo. Can I do it now? You're doing it now.
Oh, I've taken mine already. I'll take it of you on the... I can just take it off the computer screen if you want. Yours seems very...
Yeah, I'm upstairs in Romy's old bedroom, so
very unimpressive studio.
Yours looks good. You've got books and you've got kids' toys. You look like a man of the world in there. I dare say, if I asked you a tough question, you could probably lean around, pull out the book, and go, "Yes, I have the answer here."
In my collection. Yeah, but looking at all the books, there's the Lego book, the Lego movie book, Tell Me Why, that might have some stuff in there. Goldilocks. Star Wars,
yeah.
Cat in the Hat. Yeah, I don't know about that. But
you're wearing pants, though, aren't you? I'm wearing pants.
I've been up for a walk. Yeah. I've been out and about for a walk. Yeah. Well, you don't see many people now, so it's good.
So
if the quality is a little bit different, it's because we're in our own houses. Yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, we both went out and bought microphones. Is that an essential? I don't think it is. We bought microphones. Well, I think it might be.
I already had one.
We do.
Oh, you know, I got mine delivered. I got mine delivered. That's right. From JCAR. Yeah.
And we're doing this on Zoom. Is that right?
Zoom.
So hopefully it sounds okay.
Do you remember that song? Yep. I reckon a lot of people would remember that song from the 70s. Zoom.
Yeah,
My heart went. Yeah. Boom. Zoom. That's it. My heart went boom. Mm. Anyway, my son keeps saying don't use Zoom because it's owned by Chinese interests and they are monitoring. They could be listening in on us. And I said, we're broadcasting it anyway.
I just want to say hello to anyone who's listening in on us and any Chinese.
What a terrible job you've got to listen to podcasts. at least as a podcast, imagine what the guy is listening to just normal Zoom meetings. Okay, how's everyone going today? Okay, go through the accounts, Linda. You know,
it's a tracking thing though, isn't it? Because isn't TikTok the same? Because I was going and I was.
Ooh, you've got, and we should say you've gone viral on a TikTok dance. Your dance with Robbie has gone viral.
Yeah, well, I did that just for something to do out in the backyard, and I've got to admit, I don't have TikTok because I don't want to, you know, be connected to something that's connected to some sort of infiltration into my private life. And I don't have,
Facebook.
Well, I've got Zoom now. Yeah. I don't have Facebook anymore. We're a little embarrassed, both of us, because we just did it for something to do. And somehow it, I don't know what makes something go viral, but it's been up to a lot of hits. I'm going, seriously, people must have nothing to do with watching us dance around.
They have got nothing to do, Glenn. That's the thing. In normal times, you dance, but it is, As Kieran, we watched it and she said, you're a good dancer. So you can actually dance.
Which... Oh, yeah. But I was dancing like an old man in that one because what we did was, and you might want to try this with your kids, is you all bring three moves and then you put all the moves together and you make a big dance. So I brought three moves, she brought three moves, and we threw in Russell Coit dance at the end.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Bang, it's a hit.
Yeah, that was probably about our fifth take. We did quite a few takes.
Oh, wow. Imagine the Chinese guy's job is to look at that and just go, how was your morning? Well, I saw these guys doing this dance.
Have a look at this.
Have a look at this. Just... This is why the Western world is falling to ruin.
Okay, two topics.
This is what they do with their time somehow. Over there. This is what they do with their time. Yeah, okay, two topics, and we've got to work out how they're related.
Okay, somehow related. Sam, hello, Sam. Is she always in isolation?
Should we ask her how she's going? How are you dealing with isolation, Sam?
I was born in it, molded by it, but still keeping in touch with friends, you know.
Yeah. She sounds like she's doing okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good on you, Sam. She's experienced at it. Because I was thinking about that just quickly before we get to the topics. If you're an astronaut and you're back on Earth, you'd be going, not so hard, this isolation, because that's what they do.
That's right.
They're used to it. Those guys up in the Skylab or whatever it is.
Skylab.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Skylab crashed to Earth because I went to a museum in Esperance, Western Australia, and they had remnants of – wasn't that Skylab that crashed in Western Australia?
Was it?
Yeah, that's Skylab. I think you're talking about the space station, the International Space Station.
Yeah, I'm talking about the space station, yeah. I always picture it like the Thunderbirds because I remember there was one guy in the Thunderbirds and there was a camera there and it always felt like when they cut the camera – to him, they were going to catch him masturbating. I would love to see one of the Thunderbirds. So I think one of the Thunderbirds masturbating would be very funny.
Well, the thing about, I love the Thunderbirds. The thing about the space station is that it's like being
go.
There we go. 5, 4, 3, 2. It's always good to work towards a countdown, isn't it?
Masturbating under pressure is terrible.
Hello to all the new listeners. Imagine the Chinese listening to us now. Oh my God.
We don't normally go blue, but I must admit any time they go, I think it was Thunderbird 5 up in the sky.
At least we're giving the Chinese guys something to talk about at lunchtime. So
when they
have their lunch break for 10 minutes, they're like, what have you been listening to?
Let's give them something to really talk about. Sam, we still haven't got the topics yet. What are they?
Let's have them.
Aldi supermarkets and kidnapping.
Oh, wow. Aldi. Are you a
fan? Who would have thought?
You just talked about
going. No, I have a friend who goes there. He's a regular, and I'll turn up to his place, and he'll have some new fandangle thing out the backyard, and I'll just go, Aldi? You go, yeah, $12. And it'll be some swinging seat that rotates, that folds up, that's got some rope on
it. That's the middle aisle stuff, isn't it? I've been there a few times, but my wife goes there occasionally. I'm not a huge fan, but.
No, I'm not a fan because it's based on, not cheapness, but it's based on saving money.
It is cheapness. But I tell you what, I remember I had a taste test once because they just rip off familiar brands and have put their own brand out. So they have don't have Twisties, they have Twist Cheesies or something. And I had, they were very good, the Aldi Twisties. And look, I want to say.
If anyone should know, it's you.
I'm the expert.
Yeah, on a blind test, I think you would be the man for the job. It's German, isn't it?
Yeah, it's German. Yeah, I saw a documentary on SBS. It's founded by two brothers. And they used to run two separate parts of the company. Oh, two, no, different areas. One ran like West Germany, ran East Germany. And they split at one point because they had a fight over selling cigarettes. One didn't want to sell cigarettes. I remember that much about it.
That's interesting.
Right. Yeah, but it is very cheap. But they have Aldi's very well known for the middle aisle, where is where your friend's buying all the weird stuff from. So they have this middle aisle where they were selling PA systems for a while. And they change the specials every 2 weeks or something. They have different stuff in that middle aisle.
But that's the theory, I reckon. You walk down there and you try to convince yourself that you need something only because it's cheap. You go, oh, look, I can buy a, you know.
Yeah.
A, you know.
Oh, a guy, one of the dads at school came back. He went down to Aldi to buy milk and bread and came back with a smoke machine, which is a true story.
Oh, I can understand. I read somewhere
And I think we actually wrote some sketches. Maybe we'll have it as a thinking music. We wrote some sketches for Open Slather, the sketch show on Foxtel, which we worked on briefly. We wrote some Aldi sketches, actually. And I
remember one lot of sketches was Guess Who's Been to Aldi? And there was cool one jingle. Where a guy came home.
He's got the smoke machine in it. Yeah, we wrote them. But maybe we'll play them later.
Yeah, that'd be good for thinking music. I know that a couple of things. A friend of mine at the gym told me that if she said, here's an inside tip and get down there as soon as you can. If you go and buy this certain wine, if you buy it anywhere else, it's going to cost you $40. If you buy it at Aldi, it's going to cost you $12. And they get these runs on things where you go, and they had it on apparently on gin as well. Oh. And also something that they haven't got in Australia that I read that they had in, I think in Germany, it was a bread vending machine. How good is that? So
a bread vending machine.
Yeah, you put your money in, and the bread came out hot. It came out. It so cooked it on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whether or not they just gave it the final bake and it popped out the bottom. Oh,
definitely. You can't to bake bread. You know, Glenn, in these times of isolation, I've baked 2 loaves of bread from scratch, and it takes at least half an hour to bake a loaf of bread. So they're definitely
Let's leave it for the last 5 minutes.
Oh, definitely. You can have
it. So
you have it in a doughy stage, like in a later stage, definitely. And then just top it off at the end. That must be what they do.
Because I know I am a member of the Qantas Club, and they have a pancake machine at the Qantas Club.
Yeah.
You've seen that. Yes. And they push a button.
Yes. They have it.
Push a button.
Yeah. And the pancakes come out.
Yeah, but there's this thing where you're standing there with some executive or a politician or a famous sportsman, and you're both going, hey, we're equal right now because we're both waiting for pancakes. And then, a hot pancake, like hot bread. You know, there is a segment in radio.
Yeah.
What do you love hot? I mean, as opposed to, you know, you've got
fresh hot chips, for example, hot chips.
Hot chips, hot donuts. Because you can't – the test is you could have it cold or you could have it hot. And hot
bread.
Bread, cake, pizza. All of those. So good.
You've got the best Qantas Club story. Do you remember your story where you made a toasted sandwich? You were making a toasted sandwich? Sandwich, and for people that don't know, you've got to make your own toasted sandwiches. There's not a Qantas person doing it. And you've got to put on the little grill thing. And you've got to stand there next to CEOs and accountants waiting. And remember, you made one, and an old Italian lady came and picked yours up and said to you,
Yes, she did.
Thank you.
And I think she thought it was just all part of the service. I was going, hey, lady, you got to make your own. But you know what? I let her take it. I couldn't be bothered having that. But she just walked up and went bang.
That's a great story. You remember that? I always tell that story. Thank you. And then she goes back to the seat, and her son or whatever goes, she goes, man, make me a sandwich. And the son looks over and goes, oh, my God, Russell Coit made you a sandwich. Gee, Glenn Robbins is doing tough times. He's working at the Qantas Club. We don't talk about that much anymore. We don't talk about my career. I'm at the Qantas Club now. I'm working at the Qantas Club. Aldi.
Are they the ones that they invented the coin cart return, didn't they? I think they did. I read that somewhere. Yeah, I think they were the first to go. Because I know it. I mean, I think Woolworths has it and Coles.
I do a joke about it. I go, I went down to Coles and bought myself a shopping trolley. They're only $2 each. And I've been selling them to Aldi up the road for $50 each. And in some areas, it doesn't work. If you go to the country and tell that joke, it doesn't work because they don't pay for their trolleys in the country. But in the shopping centres near me, Woolworths you don't, but Coles you do pay $2 for a shopping trolley.
Well, near me, it's Woolworths definitely you do, and Coles you don't.
Oh, there you go.
So, but having said that, one of the Woolworths I go to, you do, and one you don't. I feel there's a guy there that's his job, where he has this huge train of carts, and he's pushing it around and once they get out of control, you're going, look out.
Oh, man.
Those guys are pretty good. They're, what would you call them? They're wranglers.
They're like cow herders, aren't they? They're like herding cows, herding cattle. Yeah, and because that, I tell you what, you don't want to crash one of those trolleys into a four-wheel drive, because that'll dent and take the paint off and cost you thousands of dollars. So they've got to be very careful.
We've said this before on this podcast, but I maintain that when people think they've got a trolley in the supermarket, they think they've got priority over someone holding a basket. They seem to just go, I'm coming through. You go, well, no, you're not. I've got as much right to be here, you know. And those old the old ladies, if they crack you in the ankle with a trolley, it really hurts. Have we said enough about Aldi? I think we probably Aldi. Have.
I know they're German. Two brothers, and they broke off. Yeah, yeah. And they're German.
And one stopped and one kept on going, yeah?
I don't know. What happened? I can't remember in the documentary what happened, but I can't remember. But there's similar lines to it now in England. There's like another German supermarket opening up too, like another big cheap kind of one. All right, well, kidnapping. Well, kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
I think we grew up in the era, like we grew up where there were several very famous kidnappings. Like in Victoria, there was the Eloise Woolidge case in Beau Morris, where they never found her. She was my age. So I reckon it was about, I was about 12 when it happened. And it just used to terrify me at night, thinking that what happened to this kid, you know, could happen to me. So kidnapping was a real.
Well,
in the 70s,
John Paul Getty was that was big, wasn't it?
Have you seen that movie? Have you seen that movie?
Paddy Hearst was
Paddy Hearst.
I know the story. The story is that he said no to the money the first time round, and then they cut his ear off.
Oh, it's horrific. And it's a great movie, actually. It's a really good movie. But it is horrific because, do you see the ear? Yeah, they do it. They cut his ear off. Yeah, or a bit of his ear.
Chopper style.
And he's so arrogant, this guy. He's like, I'm not paying. So it's like, oh, God. You'd hope that it was his granddad. You'd hope that your granddad, if he was loaded, would front up the money, wouldn't you?
But you think he would, wouldn't you? Yeah. But I don't think they ever got on. So
no.
You know. And what was often, the Paddy Hearst?
Paddy Hearst was.
She turned into. She was brainwashed, wasn't she?
Yeah, she started robbing banks with them. Yeah. It's a famous photo of her holding the gun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of the time it's really sad when you see kids have been. Oh, it's horrible when they kidnap and then they. Oh, it's horrible that story. So I hate even retelling it where they've held them and then they've been had kids with them and.
Oh, I had them for 20 years. Yeah.
Oh, it's just horrendous. There's a couple of documentaries around where they, you know, you hear the phone call, them ringing the police, and they go, "I've just got out, and I'm this person. I haven't been seen for a number of years," and blah blah blah. Oh, it's just
it's not good. It's everyone's nightmare. It's everyone's. As a kid, it's like a nightmare, isn't it? It's like your nightmare. But kidnapping happens a lot. It's like a business in places like Mexico, where they
India too. They do. They kidnap brides and just got one for you. It's just terrible.
What a way to make money! What a way to make money!
But all of them most of the time they bring in a negotiator, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's someone who knows how to. So that is. So you get to talk to the guy in the movies. You get to talk to him, right?
Yeah, but it's often a middleman, by what I can tell. I heard a great podcast about a guy being kidnapped by Somali pirates for 2 years. A British guy, and I think he was British or American. But I mean, he did go. He was reckless because he went to Somalia to interview pirates. So. If you're turning up in Somalia to interview pirates, eventually one of them is going to go, hey, Gary, this guy's worth a bit of money. Well, he's sitting right in front of us. We don't even have to, you know, pull over a car or get a gun out. He's sitting there. So he got held for 2 years or something. But they would get these middlemen that would try and make money out of it. It was just, it's no good. But he got out eventually.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Sinatra's son got kidnapped. Do you remember that one?
That's right.
And that he got held, and then some said that it was staged by Sinatra because his son wasn't that well known, so he set it all up so he could get his son on the front page of the papers, which is...
That's terrible. But do you remember the Fairly Arrow kidnapping on the Gold Coast? Remember that?
I know the name.
That must have been 80s. She was like a struggling singer, and she faked her own kidnapping to get publicity.
Oh, yeah.
She was blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly arrow. Yeah. Let's talk about the positive of kidnapping, Glenn. You lose weight.
I mean, when are they?
You lose weight. No one comes out of a kidnapping situation fat. I've noticed that. All those guys who get kidnapped in Afghanistan, they always come out very skinny. What else? What are the positives? You appreciate life once you get out. You know.
What are the things that you need in your kidnapping repertoire? I mean, it usually involves some sort of mask, some sort of tape, some sort of rope, I mean, a Hessian bag to put over them when they initially get taken.
But there also seems to be what you'd call a trope in kidnapping cases. There's always the friendly guard that you see in movies and stories where the friendly guard is the one that you bond with, and but then there's the nasty guard. It's like good cop, bad cop, I reckon.
Yeah, good cop, bad cop. So it's one guy softens you up, but it's just look.
I think there's much more we can say about kidnapping. It's not a good thing.
Well, when did milk cartons sort of come into it there for a while?
The American thing with the missing people on the side of
they would often whether or not their kids would. Oh, that's probably more of a missing than a
missing
kidnapping
person,
isn't it?
Yeah. It was kidnapping. You've got to do the ransom note and all the you know, some kind of ransom. That's how it works in movies. You kidnap someone for a reason to get money, generally.
Yeah, and the motivation is to give them back for amount of money. And whereas sometimes kids are kidnapping purely for the perverse needs of that person.
Yeah, but most of the time it's about money, and most of the time the kidnappers aren't that bright. By going what I see in movies and stuff, they're not that well put together in the head. So things go wrong. Things go, you know, they lock someone in the boot. They die in the boot. It's like, oh, they're not meant to die. Meant to give them back alive. Oh,
it's terrible. Usually money in a brown paper bag, isn't it?
Yeah, but you got to meet them somewhere. Meet them somewhere.
Yeah, I mean it's fraught in the whole setup, because as soon as you put that item in a certain place, surely the place is going to be cased, and surely you have to.
Yeah.
I suppose you could do a bank transfer nowadays, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. Well, they always say don't get the cops involved. No cops, and they always get the cops involved. I mean, you would ring the cops, wouldn't you? You'd ring the cops for sure.
Absolutely.
And when they ring up the phone, there's about eight cops listening in on the phone call. There's no one listening. Yeah. No, there's no one listening.
And in the movies, they always bring in the negotiator, the smooth-talking negotiator, who just is able to manipulate the situation and, you know, eventually break the person.
There's kidnappings and then there's sieges, aren't there? They're two different sort of things, but surely the negotiator would learn both in his TAFE course. You know what I mean?
I reckon you'd be a good negotiator. I reckon you'd be good.
All right. Well, okay, say you're in a house with a gun, and I'll talk to you right now, okay? Glenn?
Okay, I've got your cat. Glenn. I've got your cat here. Yes.
Glenn, look, I know you've been through hard times, and, you know, for a period there you were very famous. Am I right? Like, you're the guy behind Russell Point. Is that you, Glenn?
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's right. Well,
you've got to realise, I shouldn't be laughing. People still love you. And you've still got a family, and there's Tony at the gym. He's very concerned for you. So we need you to put down that weapon and bring the cat out. Yeah? Put down the weapon, don't harm the cat, all right?
Can I see you at the front of the house?
Yeah, just look through the window. Yeah, look through the window now.
Yeah, look through now. Put your hand up and wave.
Wave. They're all the SWAT guys.
Is that you?
Yeah, I'm the one without a gun. They're all – don't guys, all right. Don't shoot him.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the cat. Shoot him. Don't shoot –
Are you the one with a donut in your hand?
Yeah, well, I'm hungry.
You're eating a donut while you talk to me. I'm offended by that.
I'm negotiating. I'm not talking. Would you like a donut? I've got a six-pack. Would you like a donut? Come out and have it. Hey, they're warm.
Okay.
They're warm.
Yeah. I got some warm bread out of the oven. Okay.
Put the gun down and make your way out with the cat. Okay. Hang on. I'll just tell the guys. Don't shoot him, guys. No, don't. Guys. I know you've trained for this for years, but don't shoot him. They're a bit triggered out here.
Don't shoot situation.
Okay. Oh, you can't tell me those SWAT guys aren't keen to shoot. They're keen to shoot.
Oh, they are.
They are. Yeah. They are.
No sudden moves. If they make a sudden move, bang.
Yeah, they're keen. They've been training for this for years. You know.
Yeah.
So obviously, the negotiator must have some bad days where he goes, what did you shoot for? I was doing fine.
Mm.
Okay, well,
I'm going to open up a gym for martial arts and call it No Sudden Moves. No Sudden Moves. If you do, I'll snap and I'll take you down. Okay, think music.
Yeah. Well, why don't we play the Aldi ad? Did we write them together? So. I can't remember. Was that one we go?
I don't remember writing that one because I'm not an Aldi shopper. And I remember thinking they were quite clever. So I can't take credit for this. You may well have written this one, but whatever the case, it's all in the past now.
And it's a cute jingle. It's
pretty quick though, isn't it?
It's quick. That's quick.
Okay. That'd be a good one.
Hey guys, guess what I got? A smoke machine, some frozen goat's knuckles, and a voodoo doll. All for under $20.
Guess who's been to Aldi.
There we go. And if you're wondering who there was Emily Tahini and there was David Eastgate was playing the main guy.
I'm a big fan of both of those people.
Oh.
And I hope they're doing well because I know that...
Well, she's still doing Mad as Hell on Sean McAuliffe's show.
Oh, so she's and I know that Dave was doing a lot of musicals, but he would therefore probably be unemployed right now. So
And he's a tough very times. Funny yeah. guy. All right, do you want to have a guess or...?
Okay, this is hard. But I'm going to say at some point they brought out a product at Aldi for kids that was a kidnapping kit. and it was for kids to, play kidnappers. And they, you had a little bit of rope in there and you had some masking tape and you had a little couple of walkie-talkies and you got to negotiate with the negotiator and that was obviously taken off the shelf because it was inappropriate.
If you look at the show bags at the show, I used to take photos of them and tweet them out. There is like a mafia show bag you can buy at the show.
See?
There's like a mafia. There's like a bikey one you can dress up as a bikey.
Yeah.
There's like an assassin one where you can be a sniper. So you're not, it's not so stupid.
Yeah, I'm not far wrong.
Because I saw a documentary on Aldi, I'm pretty sure that one of the brothers got kidnapped. Because again, he's viewed as someone who's wealthy. Can't remember why or how, but I'm sure one of them got kidnapped. One of the Aldi.
He got kidnapped and it would be interesting if he did get kidnapped. I wonder if he did it at a reduced price. your normal kidnapping's coming in at $250,000, but he goes, we're going to, for you, I'll do it for 90,000.
And also, we'll chuck in a smoke machine. You can have some banana jam. You can have some twisties. They're not the real twisties, but they're kind of like twisties.
And a dog's collar that flashes. It flashes different colors.
All right, let's get the answer, Sam.
In 1971, one of the two founders of Aldi, Theo Albrecht, was kidnapped at gunpoint by two men. He was held for 17 days in a closet in Dusseldorf, Germany, only being released when 7 million Deutschmarks were paid in ransom. Theo apparently haggled with the captains over the ransom price, then later successfully claimed as a tax-deductible business expense in a German court. While the two kidnappers were eventually caught, the full amount of ransom was never recovered. After the ordeal, the brothers became very reclusive and in semi-retirement. The men lived on a German island in the North Sea where they are rumored to have spent their time playing golf, collecting typewriters and growing orchids.
Wow, that is amazing.
Wow, that's incredible. So he claimed it as a tax deduction. That's someone who really thinks about the dollars. That's very impressive.
You went far wrong with his negotiating a lower price for his kidnapping. Wow. That's amazing. Incredible.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So I wonder if he actually, he did his own negotiating. I wonder how it worked. I wonder because when did Aldi come about? Was like the early, was it like
for in Germany, it was the 60s and 70s. But right, for us, it would have been 5 years ago, wouldn't it? 5-10 years ago.
England,
it was there in the 80s and 70s, 80s kind of, but and the rest of Europe, but Australia took a long time to get Aldi. So.
Well, he must have been worth a lot of money because if of all the people that you could, kidnap,
Yeah.
You're saying it to your mates. I'm going to go to the head of Aldi. I mean, if I said that to you today, you'd go, really?
Yeah.
Same guy to Aldi, you're going to kidnap him. Surely there's better people you think are going to be worth more money.
But how lucky would the other brother feel? The second brother. Phew.
But he probably, you know what he did before he left? He may have on the way out grabbed a few things like the bread vending machine. Grabbed a few things to take
banana
with him.
Jam.
Yeah, just to make sure he made it through time, you know. But the kidnappers at the same time went into a different section and grabbed the tape that they needed. They grabbed the rope. They grabbed the Hessian bag, the paper bag for the money that, you know, going in, all that sort of stuff. So it was a win-win for both ends.
It's a win-win. Incredible. That's an incredible one. Well, there's something for isolation to think about. Aldi. When you're going up to Aldi, do your weekly shop. Have a think about that. Maybe bring it up with the checkout operator. Did you know one of the founders of this supermarket was kidnapped in 1971? And then he claims the ransom has a tax deduction.
Security.